really feels as though men are just waiting to put women in a box and tell you what you can or can't do, what you can or can't be. That's why I'm so against it. At the end of the day, men are just trying to police what women do. And I'm so, so against that.
I think it's really important to casually date.
No, I never went by 20 for life.
I knew that that was a horrible show.
So this is when it's exclusive.
Boom, Miss Chindia.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be chatting to you today.
It's such a strange experience to meet someone whose content you constantly watch. Then you sit down and you have a conversation like this and it's like, oh, you're real.
Really? Is that how it feels? It's nice to be finally chatting to you. I hope I don't disappoint you. Because, you know, you always have like expectations based off of what you see. And sometimes it's always different from what you then actually have in front of you or what you then speak to.
That's so true. You're very different because the schedule you have and the amount of energy and enthusiasm you maintain is very remarkable. You have your wealth management, you have your fitness classes. So you've really had your foot on the gas for quite a while now.
To be honest, I really believe in putting my best foot forward. Even if I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling down. I always believe that whatever I'm going into when it comes to my brand and the content I'm putting out there, I really want to just give it my all. And I feel like that's what's helped me get to where I am now. Or not like I've made it or anything, but there have been certain situations where you even think like, why am I making an effort for this? No one's going to see it. Or maybe the platform isn't big or something like that. That might just make you feel as though you shouldn't really try. Since the start, I've always just really, you know, just try to put my best foot forward and give it my all.
And I think that goes with anything in life. When you start something, your recognition isn't going to be all the way up there. And I think if you believe that you're making quality content or what you're doing isn't necessarily growing in that moment of time, I think it can be very discouraging, which causes a lot of people to stop. And on this journey that you've been on, what has been your driving force that helped push you even through these moments?
You know, a lot of the time, I don't even feel like being in the gym. I think like 80% of the time I'm in there, I want to be at home. But because I've made a mental commitment to being the best version of myself, I don't want to live a life of regret. I want to know that I went and I gave it my all. And if I failed, it's not because I didn't try. I want to know that I tried my best, the best that I can do in that circumstance. So even with fitness, with work, I always just want to be the best version of myself. You just need a lot of like mental strength in the process of even just being a PT. One of the traits you gain is mental toughness. And then you're able to actually like apply that to every other aspect of your life, be it work or even just activities that you're doing outside of work. I've just kind of gained that from working out.
Being a PT, do you exercise every single day?
So I train 5 times a week.
5 times a week? Are you trying to go to the Olympics?
I would. I think I'd want to do gymnastics because when I was younger, I was actually captain of the national gymnastics team and I competed at All Africa Games. It's just because of, you know, how it is pursuing sport and gym and actually getting funding to go further and to get more training. I wasn't able to do that. Either powerlifting, since I've kind of gotten into working out now, or I would actually want to do like rhythmic gymnastics, which I used to do when I was younger.
That's so cool that you did gymnastics at such a high level. So when you just watch these power lifters, you just look at the TV and just think, oh, I could do this too.
I think for my weight class, I could, but I see these people like popping veins, whatever. Like you start seeing them bleeding from their nose. I remember this one dude just popped something in his eye and I just went like red in the process of lifting. I mean, I don't want to go super heavy, but I just want to do something within like my weight class. So I kind of see myself doing like 300 kg lifts and things like that. But I mean, I'd want to just do something in my range. Yeah. I'd just like to try and pursue it. I think I'd like it.
On the topic of exercising, I'm very curious on whether you exercising is all based on intrinsic factors or does it also tie into what you want to project to the world?
I think for me, fitness is more of a lifestyle. It's something that I actually need to do everything else that I do in life because there's so many psychological and physical benefits. Like it helps me with my moods. Like I feel great after I work out. The days when I feel low or feel tired, the moment I work out, I've got energy. I feel great. I feel bubbly. It helps regulate my sleep. That energy that I have pours into like my work when I'm not working. After a gym session, I can function well in the work environment. If I'm sleeping well, I get to work early and my mood's great. So for me, it's not about how I want to portray myself to people. It's literally a lifestyle that I'm sharing with everyone else. I remember at one point, I just started spending so much time in the gym. I was like, let me just report my workouts. And then it got to a point when people are actually now doing them. They're using like some hashtag. It kind of caught on with a lot of people. And now people would then kind of use the same hashtag and tag me when they're doing the workouts I shared. But it all started from me just sharing a lifestyle. My husband even appreciates that. He knows that gym time is gym time. Nothing will ever get in the way of Mikey going to the gym. If she's going to the gym, we're working around that.
I know your husband sings, but have you tried to persuade him to also join this fitness space?
Yeah, he's actually doing really well for himself. And in terms of his fitness journey, he works out at a different gym from me, but he's very fit and active. Imagine being married to someone who doesn't appreciate what you're passionate about. He won't understand because she's going to the gym working till 7 p.m. Like, she could be at home cooking for me. They'll think like that if they don't really value what it is that you do. I remember when I used to work out with him, he started to get like, not hate me, but he'd get like so irked by me when we do like our sessions. He was like, are you trying to kill me? Because he wasn't into like weight training much. Like, he now just does his own thing.
With you working out with him, was it not challenging in the relationship where now you both went to the gym and you may have been able to lift a bit more than he can? How was that like for you?
I'm really happy I'm with a man who embraces that he's with a strong woman, and he likes that. So even in situations where he can't, you just say it like, yo, bro, like, I can't. But it's rare. I think it's only like for leg day, because when it comes to like doing arms, I've got like chicken arms compared to him, and yeah, it's like vice versa. But he, you know, he's just like, babe, I can't do this. Let me get my way. So yeah, no, it works.
And you briefly touched about cooking for him. And with your content creation and free speech, you're always someone who's at the center of all of these debates. You recently made a tweet about cooking for your partner and people were enraged.
Exactly. I don't understand, eh? What happened was the misogynists, right? They try and use me by saying if a woman as... well, supposedly successful, who's working a 9-to-5, creating content, a woman who's somewhat like seen as like, you know, the feminist not dream, but like, yeah, an independent woman or whatever, who's doing a lot. If someone like that can still come home and cook for their husband, there goes feminism out of the window. You know, if she's doing that, then why are you even arguing for feminism type of thing? Because they always try and do that with me. It's like, even when I got married and I went through that process of kuperekwa, people would try and say like, oh, she brought herself down for him. Same thing as like cooking. She's bringing herself down to like a level to cook for him. I keep saying like, guys, I'm doing this out of love and respect. Like, feminism also comes down to women deciding like what kind of a woman they want to be. And I'm deciding that I want to be the woman who's independent, does a 9-to-5, coaches people, creates content, does what she wants as well. But I also then choose to be this kind of woman for my husband because I love him. And I think that's what it is. Like, you choose to be the woman that you want to be for your man. Every single time that happens, it's always the misogynist. And it's very annoying because they're trying to push their agenda. Well, they're just making assumptions. I don't even see it as demeaning. It's me embracing culture and respecting my husband. So if you're a woman who's, you know, maybe you get married and you don't want to go through the kuperekwa process, feminism also says you can say no. Or you can say yes, like, it's up to you. And cooking, same thing. You can say, bruh, I don't cook, so we're going to have a schedule, or we're going to buy takeout. That's perfectly fine as well. I was responding to one guy who had actually said, if Mikey, who can do all these things, whatever, can still come back and cook for a husband, then who are you to say no? I also make the content I make and do what I do because I really don't want to be put in a box as a woman. And in Zimbabwe, it really feels as though men are just waiting to put women in a box and tell you what you can or can't do, what you can or can't be. That's why I'm so against it, because it's at the end of the day, men are just trying to police what women do, what they say or what they feel. And I'm so, so against that.
That's very interesting. And are you on the polar opposite of all of these misogynists and these groups that try to put women down?
Every other day in Zim, it feels as though men are just attacking women who sometimes we're not even bothering you, you know? We're literally just living our lives. Like, women should just be able to wear a bikini, post in lingerie in Zim. But we have this like fake, I don't know, fake. We act like we're so conservative. We act like we're so holier than thou and religious. And when it comes to the certain things that women do, if you just cross a certain line that's not okay with the conservative norms, they come for you. And that's why I like getting people talking or even just outraged. Like, sometimes I'm just like, boom, drop that tweet, because like, I don't want people to feel comfortable, like, especially men feeling like, yeah, we've managed to police women and they're not going to do what they want to do because maybe they fear what people will say. I'm like, nah, we're going to do it. We don't care what you say.
And I think this is all really driven by men believing that they're above women. And because of that, they feel that they know better. So women should fall in line with their preconceived notions on dressing, which I think is really wrong. And what's your take on some of these leaders of these people who encourage men to think like this, like the Shadayas and all?
I don't follow him. I don't engage with that kind of content. I just don't agree with his thoughts and his views. And like, even just for my own sake, because I just don't agree. Like 100%. I don't think I'll ever agree with that, man. There's some people that you can engage with and you're like, no, I'm actually having like discourse here. But there, because you actually end up finding yourself getting worked up. Energy's gone. What have you gained? Has anyone changed their mind? No. And clearly, he's going to think a certain way. So I don't even feel like, I don't know. I just, I can't direct energy towards that.
And on a completely different note, you are into private wealth management. And I wanted to find out what you majored in university and if private wealth management was always the goal.
No, so like I never thought I'd be in private wealth management. One, I wanted to be an investment banker, but that was only going to be possible if I'd stayed in the UK. So because I didn't manage to like stay in the UK after uni, I came back to Zim. Zim has a non-existent investment banking sector, like snap. So then now I was just forced to just find a job. You know, Zim kind of kills your dreams, hey? So I didn't even think I'd get into private wealth management. I never thought it would happen. I literally was not just looking for any kind of job. And based off of LinkedIn, actually, I guess that's how social media actually started working in my life. Because I started to just post content on how I'm a new graduate and I'm looking for a job and just the challenges I was facing in Zim. And it was kind of like a blog on LinkedIn. Someone just told me about a job that they were recruiting. And then someone just told me I'd be a good candidate for it. And they said, just try and apply. Because they'd seen my articles. And then I was like one of three people that got chosen for the job. So I never saw that happening. And with fitness, I mean, like, I never saw myself working out as much as I do now, let alone creating content. I'd never thought that would happen. Like, it was the last thing I'd have ever expected. And every time I think about it, I always think, like, I genuinely think it's God working in my life. Like, you know how God gives you a gift, gives you a talent or something, and then he uses you to do certain things. Yeah, I never saw that happening because I live such an unhealthy lifestyle. And like about a few years back then, I was really still like in that uni kind of phase. I drank a lot. I ate a lot like of bad food. I mean, I still eat a lot of bad food now. Gee, I do. But I mean, like then I partied a lot. I drank a lot. I smoked a lot. I'm so glad I even stopped smoking because I don't know where I'd be right now. I'm grateful for where I am now. I never saw it coming at all. I never saw any of this happening really. So yeah.
On the topic of smoking and drinking, do you think you fell into this hole of smoking and drinking because you enjoyed it or that's what was relevant with the environment you were in?
So like, I still drink, but I mean, I think I can safely say like how much I used to drink was just, yeah. And purely because I had nothing better to do with my time, hey? You then just find yourself somewhere at a party or something. And then next thing you've drunk so many drinks, right? And it's not like there's anything bad with it. Like, cause I know people who work, they do their things and they probably go out and go ham like each night or whatever. Like for me now, compared to then, like I don't drink as much. Smoking started in uni cause when you're cold and you're waiting for the bus and it's like minus 4 degrees, but you need something to do, something to just keep you going. I don't know. That's how it started for me.
Could you not have put on a jacket?
Guys, these coats don't work. It'll be cold. You just be waiting for your bus and then you just, you know, you smoke a cigarette here or there, you're a social smoker, and then bam, you're smoking a lot. I could see how it had very like, not detrimental effect on me, but like, I even look at pictures from like maybe 5-6 years back. I look younger now. I look better. I feel better because even the lifestyle I was living, it wasn't good for me like mentally. It didn't have me in a good place. And I wasn't as productive with my time as I am now. So like some days, like yesterday, today is a public holiday. I probably would have really just drunk quite a bit, got smashed, and then just spent a day recovering from a hangover. But even now that I don't drink as much because of like, I have to train, I have to go and create content, I have to be alert for a podcast interview. I won't be doing that as much. It's really been good for me, especially like my mental state. Because it does take a toll on you to some extent. We can't lie. It'll really affect you and in a negative way. I did it just because I don't think I had anything better to do. But now, like, I have so much to do. Sometimes it's like, ooh, it's a high. Like, okay, first time in 2 weeks, I can actually afford to have a drink, you know, and yeah. Just sit back and chill because of that. But I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with partying or going out and drinking. Like, I mean, I get so stressed sometimes by how much I have time. Like, the time I just really want to go out and go buck, but I can't afford to.
But I think that's also kind of the uni experience. Just also learning what you like. And with your university experience, what are some of the craziest stories that happened?
Me and my friends actually set up like a society that was purely for people to meet up and drink. We literally meet up in the computer labs and we would just come with our bottles. It wasn't even any, there's no purpose for that society, but just for people to congregate and drink on campus during the week. But we didn't even achieve much. But yeah, that was one thing about uni. Like, we actually managed to set up like a whole group of society, like get people to come and drink. And you're a foreigner. So for me, that was a bit of a, okay, we did that. Yeah, uni was fun. It was a great experience. And I'm really happy that I got to experience uni outside of Zoom. I got to make so many amazing friends, meet people from so many different countries. And I feel like it's really good. You actually need that, like just to leave the country. Yeah, I think it's always just really nice to just to be able to study with people from other backgrounds and different cultures. It really opens up your mind. No, you become even more tolerant. Like, I live with a Chinese guy, a Bulgarian, a French chick, and one Nigerian chick. And then you kind of learn about people's cultural backgrounds. Like, it opens your eyes to certain things. And you might be more tolerant once you even have sit down and have conversations with them in the kitchen. And you understand why they do what they do. Then you have a better understanding and a better appreciation of people. And I think it helps make the world a better place because we're more tolerant of each other. So that's why I really enjoyed like my uni experience and getting that exposure. And I think I've digressed from what your question even was.
No, it's okay. Here we love stories. I think through university, you learn so much life from other people's perspectives. And I think that can help you grow so much. And it can help you with understanding, appreciating cultures. And as we get to rounding off on the podcast, we have a signature question, which is, what does happiness mean to you? So today, Ms. Chindia, what does happiness mean to you?
To me, happiness is just being able to live a life on my own terms. Yeah, for me, happiness would just be to be able to pursue my passion, because I think that's what would help me live on my own terms and be my own boss, be able to do things how I want, when I want, and not being confined to the 9-to-5 life. I'd be very happy. Like, you're financially stable, you're able to take care of things, and you don't have to report to nobody.
And you're really on that trajectory, and I can't wait to see all of these dreams and goals manifest in your life.
Thank you so much. I receive.
And with that, I'd just like to say thank you so much for joining us on The Morning News today. We had an absolutely amazing time speaking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.